Hello and welcome to a very special episode of MMO Weekly, presented as always by Chitty's Cheesesteaks. I'm your host, Sal Manzo. Join this week to preview the 2024 season. Half of the voice of the Mets of the radio, we know him, we love him, Keith Rad. Thank you so much for taking some time with me tonight. We really appreciate it. We know starting in a couple of days from now, it's going to be a long few months for you. So we appreciate you taking some time with us.
No problem. Hoping for a long and sweet 162 regular season games and more, hopefully, and more.
Fingers crossed. Absolutely. We know, hopefully on Thursday they'll start 1-0. We know how good the Mets are come opening day. We know that whole record there. But obviously, we just want to preview the season here with everything going forward. But before we kind of do that, there's a couple of names I want to get into. But I feel like it would be remiss to not ask what it's been like now. Couple of days with JD Martinez now in the fold with the Mets. Obviously, the Syracuse Mets are really excited to start the year. We know that. They get a couple of weeks of JD down there to get his season ramped up. But just want to get anything, that you've heard the last few days now that he's in camp, just your thoughts of, bringing a player of that caliber to kind of really solidify a lineup that's really been using a player like him for a long time.
Yeah, I think the Mets have always wanted JD Martinez. Just the price was a little steep, to be honest with you, with the plan and where that was going. And if the price tag fell big time, I mean, if the price falls enough for anybody, you take them. And now that you have JD Martinez, you could feel the excitement dripping from Pete Alonso, Francisco Lindor, Brandon Nimmo. I mean, the core is excited. And I think JD Martinez is excited to play for the Mets. I think some of the young guys might be able to take advantage of the things that JD Martinez can teach them. He'll be like kind of a co-hitting coach of the now two that the Mets have. So it's an immediate thump. And the only reason this guy is out of a job is because Shohei Ohtani is the Dodgers DH. So it's not as if he lost a step. He's just not Shohei Ohtani, which is fine. So I think even though he's 36 going on 37, he's not going to hit like it. He'll hit like he's 26 going on 27, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we talked about it last show with our producer, guy at 36, like you said, had almost 250 total bases last year, over 30 home runs, 100 RBIs. We know this is a professional hitter and what he can do, especially for a guy like Pete Alonso, this is probably the best protection that Pete will have maybe, so far in his career. Obviously, it'll be, a couple weeks to see it, but I can't imagine a player like Alonso, I don't know if relief is the right word, but just maybe excitement now that you're going to get, more pitches to hit with a guy like Martinez sitting behind you.
Yeah, I think this is protection for Alonso. This is protection for the Mets for Alonso as well, too, because the Mets would love to sign Pete long term, no problem. This is kind of a little bit of an insurance policy for him to have a solid year to at least have, we got JD Martinez for you. So I know Pete's very excited. He's been a little more open and animated this year. I don't know how much of that is different. I mean, it was only my first year last year. But he was very, very happy in Tampa when Mets were taking on the Yankees. And he met the media first time to talk about JD Martinez. And he was singing his praises. So I know Pete is pumped.
And how could you not be with somebody hitting behind you like that? But we talked about the young guys. I am curious, a guy like, obviously, Mark Vientos gets affected by this, up until a few days ago, he was probably going to be the Mets' primary DH. I'm just wondering if you've heard just how he's feeling on this. I know he spoke to the media, obviously, after the trade, and, obviously said this is a good player, it helps the team and all that. But I'm just kind of wondering, as far as, his mindset now going forward, and if maybe, like you said, ultimately can help a player like him having someone like Martinez to come and kind of, show him the ropes.
Yeah, so it was interesting to find out that JD Martinez and Mark Vientos had known each other for quite a while. Both Florida guys, they've trained together in the offseason. So JD's known Mark since the very beginnings of his minor league phase when he was drafted by the Mets in 17. So they know each other. And the first time that JD Martinez hit on the field at Clover Park, this was kind of the first time he was in public because the fans were kind of in Clover Park hanging out. The turtle was up for BP. And the first thing he did was put his arm around Mark Vientos and talk to him. I'm sure there was some stuff on Twitter that fans might have seen of that interaction, but it was the first thing that he did. So JD Martinez has kind of been in Mark's shoes. Martinez was DFA'd by the Astros at a very critical time in his young career. Mark Vientos, the thing that's so frustrating for him is that you know, all offseason, they could have got somebody, and they've said, we're going to play our young players. And at literally the 11th hour, Friday, less than a week ago to this, the season starting, you lose your job. I mean, anybody would be frustrated. And Mark certainly tried to say the right things. His body language and his tone, you could tell he's a human. He's mad. He wants to be on the Mets. Like, who doesn't want to be a player for the Mets? He's going to be in Syracuse, which is very, 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 very far mentally and literally away from Citi Field. So, you know, I feel for Mark. I know he did what he could in spring. He put together some fine Vientos-like numbers. But again, if the price tag falls so much, you can get JD Martinez. The Mets are going to do that. But it does stray from what David Stearns has told us, media fans, is that they want to play their young players. And I think they will play Vientos, but they're not even bringing him up for the first, you know, week, 10 days that JD Martinez is going to be at Syracuse. Right. So that is interesting to me.
Yeah, no, and that's an interesting note too. And, you know, in the interim like that, that he is going to be starting the year in AAA, that's something I didn't even realize as well. So that is, you know, kind of a mixed message there, even with Cohen, you know, when he spoke, what was it, last week, kind of saying it's late in the year to add guys, things of that nature. Obviously, we know, well, you know, how much of that was posturing and whatnot, because obviously they got a deal done. But it is, you know, I would imagine that, you know, hopefully Vientos' confidence isn't too shook from that. And like you said, he can kind of be motivated to whenever he does get that chance to come up, because he absolutely will at some point. A lot of these guys will. But I'm just kind of curious just as well, as far as, you know, we talk about from the pitching, just to the pitching a little bit, you know, we know about the pitching staff. It's not the DeGrom, Scherzers, you know, Verlanders the last few years of that nature, maybe not the sexiest of names, but I'm just kind of, you know, what you've seen so far throughout camp from any guys that have, you know, particularly maybe stuck out with you as far as, you know, going to be, you know, in the starting rotation here.
Yeah, Sal, I think you nailed it. That's literally the phrase that I've been using, is that this rotation that David Stearns put together is very, very unsexy. It's not going to, you know, blow you away as far as names and low ERAs and incredible amounts of accolades behind these guys. But these are trained big league starters. These are professionals that have proven track records. Even if their ERA is a four ERA these days is 2 or 3 runs over 6, which in baseball is a quality start.
Sure.
It keeps you in the game. It hands you to the bullpen, which David Stern has built a pretty nice bullpen. But truly, I think there's people have high ceilings and high floors. A guy like Kodai Senga has a very high ceiling. He can go out there and post a 1-something ERA, a 2-something ERA, which is great. It's incredible. When you have high floor guys like Sean Manaea, like Adrian Hauser, they're not going to implode. All of a sudden, oh, they have a 6 or 7 ERA. It's not like them. They haven't done that before. When you have a high floor, you'll have a couple of good starts, quality starts, and maybe a nice one, and then maybe a clunker. That's kind of the vibe and the feel. So I do like this starting rotation. David Stearns knows what he's looking for in arms. He did that in Milwaukee. He's big on stuff. He's big on different looks out of the bullpen. Sure. I think he might have found a diamond in the rough with Sean Manaea and his sweeper that he developed. Can Luis Severino, with some stamina, be anything the year 2017-18? I think you can be confident in the consistency, the reliability, despite the fact that you don't have somebody with a 1.5 ERA like DeGrom would post, a 2 like Senga, who will miss for the first month and a half, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree with you more as far as the you know, the high ceil the high floor and the high ceiling. You know, they brought in, we understand kind of what the plan is, so to speak, with the, you know, this year and next year. And, you know, it seems like they wanted, like you said, a guy like Manaea, possibly, you know, a gem in the rough, or diamond in the rough there, as far as with his sweeper and things of that nature. His fastball looked pretty good in this camp too. See, it looked like it was getting up to 95, 96 at times. You know, I'm excited personally. You mentioned Severino. He's looked great in spring. Someone that we know at beginning of his career, got, you know, him and Jacob DeGrom were kind of neck and neck for, there was a couple of years there. Obviously, we know, you know, one of them pulled away, but, you know, excited to see him hopefully healthy and motivated to kind of, you know, maybe stick around, get those next contracts, so to speak. But I think the starting staff is going to be, pleasantly surprised. And you hit it on the nail on the head before. 5-6 innings, if you can get 2-3, you know, 2 times through in order, and then your bullpen can piece it together to a lead with Diaz in the 9th inning. I mean, that's kind of going to be their recipe, I would think, right? It's a team that's going to score now probably a lot of runs. I would think there's going to be a lot of 6-5, 6-4 kind of finals. And those, you know, that starting staff, like I said, if they can get through what you would think two times through a lineup, you hope you can piece it to get to, you know, what's hopefully going to be, again, the best closer in baseball when they have a lead.
You know, and that's the thing, too, last year that you forget a little bit in April and May without without Scherzer, the suspension, Verlander was hurt.
Sure.
I mean, the Mets didn't get through five from their starters for a very long time. Can't forget Joey Lucchese on my birthday. I remember it because it was that day, April 21st in San Francisco, went seven. It was like, oh, my God, somebody can go seven. The Mets couldn't get through five, and you're already hurt with your bullpen with Diaz out, so you're stretching the pen even more. If you just get through five, the starting pitcher gets through five, it changes everything. And I think these guys can definitely do that. But you mentioned the bullpen. I'm so excited to see Edwin. He was electric in that first spring training game against the Marlins. If you could have electricity like that in spring training, it's very, you know, relaxed and drink a beer and watch the game with your feet up with the little Florida breeze. But it was awesome. And I'm so excited to hear the trumpets at Citi Field. And that vibe, that domination, that intimidation that he brings changes so much. It changes so much. For the rest of the bullpen, for that feeling of reliability, if you're Adam Ottavino and you don't have it and maybe you blow it in the seventh or the eighth or instead of a two-run game, it's a one-run game, you have Edwin Diaz to fall back on. I'm not going to say, you know, Adam's going to get mad at me that I picked on him, but anybody, you stick anybody in that situation.
Yes, right.
Now you have that fallback option with Diaz.
And how has, and you hit the nail on the head as far as just the vibe, right? Knowing that guy's lurking in the ninth, if you have a lead, it changes the perception of everything. But like, how has he been in camp? It seems like he's really in great spirits and that injury's sort of behind him and he's ready to dominate again in 24. I'm just kind of curious that, you know, you talk to him at all in spring and just how that's going.
Yeah, he feels good. He said it 1,000 times. And I think he was maybe ready at the end of last year. So it's not as if he just picked up a ball on February 1st. So he came in guns a-blazing, ready to do this. And they were careful with him, as you'd imagine, not pitching, but just being in a game and there's a dribbler off the mound. How's he going to handle that? How is he going to handle his legs underneath him just in PFP baseball mode? I know the old adage, pitchers aren't athletes. and you just don't want Diaz to get in trouble with any kind of plays like that. So I think the thing that I'll be interested to see in April is how many back-to-backs will he work. They may take it easy on him early in the season because, again, there's no point. You're not going to win the division in April, that kind of thing. But I do think he's physically ready. I think everybody just has a little bit of that mental hurdle to make sure he can pitch back-to-back and field his position. But he feels good. His arm is electric. And you know, coming from the minor leagues, I used to see big leaguers come down and rehab all the time, and they would sometimes look really good against minor league hitters. When Edwin Diaz pitched against the Marlins that first night, it was as if he was facing minor league hitters. But these were the big league guys for the Marlins, the three guys that he faced, and it was different. It was so different in a good way.
Yeah, and even he said he was a bit surprised at how well that first outing went. He wasn't, you know, expecting to strike out the side there. But, you know, it just goes to show when you have that caliber of player healthy and, you know, on the mound for you, what things can do. I do want to talk a little more about Alonso and then Alvarez to kind of round things out, but I would be remiss to ask just your thoughts on Carlos Mendoza's first spring training as manager. You know, what are people talking about? I'm just kind of curious there as we kind of head, you know, into the season start now.
Yeah, I like Carlos so far. It's so far. I mean, he knows this too. He's very humble. He respects the job. He knows that, you know, his legacy, what he's trying to do, isn't really going to be solidified until those games start and something goes wrong in crisis mode and they have to handle it. But so far, he's managers. What I've learned from the minor leagues and even last year is there's a vibe. There's a feeling. There's a looseness or a tightness in the clubhouse, depending on who's running the show. And Mendy has been great. Everybody's in a good mood. You could tell that the players are certainly a little bit in different, lighter spirits than last year. I'm not going to say better or worse than when Buck was managing last year. It's just different. And that might turn into be a good thing. But Carlos, he looks you in the eye. He wants to know your name. He wants to do a good job. He respects who you are. If you're media, you're a fan, you're a player. And his big thing has been a lot of the buzzwords about communication and leadership. And I think the communication aspect is something that the fans won't see as much. Mm-hmm. Communication is, hey, Brandon Nimmo, you're going to play left field, but the way you're going to play left field, the way we're going to treat it when we talk to the media is going to be professionally done. You're going to know everything that we're going to say to the media. You're going to know everything about your schedule and your plan. And big league guys, some of them are creatures of habit. You can't take them by surprise. So those things fans really won't see. But I think the players have respected that. And if you have the players' respect, that's at least a good start for Carlos Mendoza. At the very end of spring training, Yankees and Mets met each other twice. We were over there in Tampa, yep. And everybody raved about Carlos Mendoza with his time in the Yankees. And I respect him even more, too, because he's the kind of guy that came up through a system and he held every single position possible. He was a coordinator. Sure. He was a hitting coach, bench coach, quality control. He did everything. He did the grunt work. He made a spring training plan for Aaron Boone. He's done every little thing. He's paid his dues. And I think as New Yorkers, we respect somebody that's kind of blue collar like that. So I love his background. I love him, looking people in the eye, getting to know them. Sure. And I wish him all the best.
Yeah, absolutely. We heard how well he did in the interviews and how highly, regarded he came. Obviously, working with an organization like the Yankees, we don't like to give them too many compliments, but you must be know what you're doing right. If you move up with there. So that's great. Just excited to see, like you said, first crisis mode, things of that nature, how he handles it. But, we wish him, nothing but the best, and hopefully it's a smooth sailing for him. But
one more thing on him too, Sal. Sorry to interrupt, but the thing about Carlos, he was going to get a job. He was going to get the Cleveland job or something. Right. He was going to be a manager. So it's not as if the Mets said, well, we didn't get counsel. Who are we going to get?
Right.
Carlos Mendoza was going to be a big league manager in one way, shape, or form.
Yeah, absolutely. And, we're lucky the Mets grabbed him when he did, right? It sounded like if they didn't, like you said, a multitude of other teams would have done the same. So, excited to see him and Stearns. Hopefully it's a nice budding relationship. Mm-hmm. And I guess with that, too, obviously this is, Stearns' first spring training, really, to get, his kind of claws into it. People talk about the pitching labs, things of that nature. I don't think folks, understand maybe how long things could take a little bit to implement, right? It takes a little bit of time for certain things. But I am just curious what you're hearing, just, as far as Stearns now, kind of manning the reins here and having, spring training and an offseason now under his belt running the team.
Yeah, so it is new. I mean, he started probably October, November. So the things, the philosophies that he'd like to implement. I asked a couple of players. I was asking Adam Ottavino the other day about, what's different. And for Ottavino specifically, not much. I mean, there are a couple of different things that Stearns wants to emphasize. The pitching lab that everybody goes through, not just the minor leaguers, but the big leaguers too, is finding inefficiencies in your rotation and your delivery to find a couple of miles an hour here or there. So those things, I think you might see them affect guys in a positive way, but the pitching lab is for the Mets to kind of bring everybody up to par. I mean, the Houston Astros are doing incredible things with their analytics department and their labs and their high-speed cameras and things that they're very far along. So the pitching lab for the Mets hopes to level the playing field, which was actually being built before Stearns got here. So what I am interested in finding out about Stearns is how he handles the regular season with the waiver wire and pickups. But I do like the way he's built. You mentioned the starting rotation, but the bullpen, the different looks. One thing that the Mets had a lot last year was a lot of the same guys, right-handers through 92 to 94. Stearns has been very interested in different arm angles, different slots, different velocities, different pitch shapes and types. So if you're the Milwaukee Brewers or the Tigers, who the Mets are ready to face, you're not going to see the same arm twice out of the bullpen.
Right.
And that always keeps you on your toes, keeps you having to prepare. And there was a lot of success with that in Milwaukee. And the Mets are hoping for a lot of the same success with Stearns here. But I'm a big David Stearns fan. I hope intelligence prevails. I believe in the things that he's built. And I think the Mets fans this year, I know the offseason has been one thing. When you have an owner like Steve Cohen, you wish you could build a fantasy team, right, every single offseason. But I believe in the process that Stearns can evaluate talent, knows what he's looking for. That's why they pay him literally the big bucks. You can Google his salary. Yep. He's getting paid a lot of money because of how well he's done in other places.
Yeah, absolutely. I am excited for the fact that there is a plan in place and, a group of management in place now that has a vision that they really want to, implement. And like, it's funny, keep talking about communication, talking about the Mendoza. It feels like folks we've talked to the last few months, since Stearns was hired, it's the same sort of deal. It's how good of a communicator he is, trying to get input from other folks within the organization, see what works, what doesn't. I really am excited, not necessarily we may not see it, you know, this year right away, but, you know, 2-3 years down the line, you know, some of these players they got last year at the deadline, obviously that wasn't him, but just that mixed with him, it's exciting times. I agree. And, you know, kind of one person that he's going to have to, you know, hopefully sign, we talked about a little before, was Alonzo. And I know you mentioned just kind of a little bit his vibe in camp, but I was just wondering if you could like elaborate on that a little bit more. Just is, you know, the contract you think affecting him at all, or it's one of those things where we're here, it'll play out, you know, I'm ready to play ball and, you know, hopefully win for the Mets.
So Pete's definitely taking on something that he is at least aware of, which is okay. He is putting a lot of pressure on himself. I mean, if you go back to the example of Francisco Lindor in 21, he did not want to play with that hanging over his head. He said, sign me in spring. Let's get this extension done. I don't want to think about it. Pete's different. And you have to be able to handle that because he made that choice. But with that comes pressure from him. The Mets are probably wishing that maybe they signed him for their price tag. Pete, I'm telling you, with Scott Boras as your agent, Mets fans probably don't realize this because, you know, let me put my fan hat on first, Sal. I want Pete Alonso to be a Met. I want to call walk-off home runs on the radio for the rest of my life. And I want Pete Alonso to hit them. Putting my baseball thinking cap on too, you can pick up on a couple clues here that the business side of things is not always as peachy keen and as, you know, as kids, sometimes your favorite player is not on that team anymore. And that's heartbreaking. And I expect them to get a deal done, but it won't happen during the season. It'll happen at the end of the season. Pete's going to test free agency. Scott's going to let him test free agency. And I'll go back to an interview that Howie Rose did with Steve Cohen. And when they talked about this, Steve said, I hope he has a great year. I hope he makes it as hard for me as possible. What does that tell you? They probably have a dollar figure in mind. And I don't know if the Mets agreed with that or said, we think that you're worth that. Because Steve said, okay, if you put together a huge year, I'll meet you there. So there's a little disagreement. That's why we're at this point of the juncture.
So it's
I hate to do it because there's so many people that want Alonso to be a Met forever, and I'm certainly one of them. But sometimes that's not the case for the business side. Now they can get this thing figured out very easily in the offseason. But it's up in the air, which nobody kind of wants to hear.
Listen, you know, as far as the business side, like you talked about, Stearns is coming into a team, right? He has to, it's a player he's probably not too familiar with. You don't want to make that investment until you're sure. You want to see what you have. And as far as you said with Cohen, you know, they probably have a number in mind. You know, we know what market value is for a top first baseman, whether Pete wants to go over that or not with his agent, we don't know. And like you said, hopefully has a great year and Cohen will be willing to pay even more. But, you know, I look at Aaron Judge as the benchmark for all that. He had a, you know, bet on himself, had a monster year, and the Yankees ended up paying him. Obviously, you know, probably more than they wanted to, but they worked it out. And Cohen's not stupid. He understands, like you said, putting that fan hat on, you know, what Alonso brings value-wise to the franchise and eyeballs. So no matter what, I think they'll get something done. But it'll be interesting to see if it affects him one way or another throughout the year, the team success sort of thing. But, you know, I guess we'll see what happens here. And like you said, now with J.D. Martinez sitting behind him, you know, hopefully Pete will have a few more home runs and RBIs there for you that you get to call. That'll be good.
Yeah, he's and again, he's one of the clutchest players we've seen him for since he came into the league in 2019. And he likes the pressure of the moment. And I'm sure he's going to actually like and thrive on the pressure of I'm playing for my value, my salary. So I think it'll work to his advantage.
Absolutely. And, you know, I know Mets fans and everyone hopes it works out either way. And he'll be a Met for a long time. But last couple of things for you. I have to talk a little bit about Francisco Alvarez. Obviously had a great spring with the bat, but even more so, it seems like he wanted to put the rest of, I don't know, the National League of Baseball on notice that I could throw this thing back here and I'm not scared to. I'll backpick you. I'll throw runners out, stealing second, third. He really seemed to, you know, shine his defensive prowess here this spring. I was just wondering if you could touch on that a little bit. And, you know, if you're even surprised a little bit at all with how good defensively he seemed to, you know, has been so far in spring training.
So Francisco Alvarez, I have to stop getting surprised by him because he forever, even in his minor league days when he was 19 with the Brooklyn Cyclones, he would say, I'm going to do this. And we'd all say, you're crazy. And he would go out and do that. He said he was going to make his big league debut when he barely got to Double A. And later that year, he, lo and behold, made his big league debut, despite the fact that everybody said, no, not yet. Alvy is the sky's the limit with him. He's incredible. I'm very excited offensively to see what he can do. I'm more blown away with the throwing out base dealers in spring.
Sure.
Because nobody could do it last year. I mean, JT Realmuto right. and Patrick Bailey with the Giants threw out a couple guys, but it's almost like a lost cause. So why are you even trying? How can a human get it there, you know, faster than these guys are stealing bases with the new rules? And here's Alvarez in spring throwing guys out, even throwing guys out with Adam Ottavino on the mound. This is the third time I picked on Ottavino in this show. But he has changed the way he receives balls. He is trying to limit inefficiencies in his throw down to second, and it's incredible. And again, the sky's the limit, because if they start to figure something out with him, he'll go back to the tool shed and figure out a way to get better. And the funny thing to me about when he was coming up, and is he ready to play in the bigs? Can he defend? Is he good enough to handle a pitching staff? Yes, obviously. That's almost his best quality now. And he hit 25 bombs last year in a very strange year for him. So offensively coming into this year, he's going to be mentally and physically ready for 162. If you go back and look at his catching numbers for the minors, I mean, these guys are playing 140 games. They have every Monday off, and he's not catching the other 6 days of the week. So the workload, you're just not ready for that. I mean, I'd love to go out tomorrow and run 10 miles, but if I've never done that, I'm not going to have a good time running. So I think this year, again, his ability to adjust on the fly and then adjust with, if you give him months to get ready with conditioning, I'm jacked. And with JD Martinez batting fifth or behind Pete fourth, whatever it may be, I think Alvarez would have been great protection. But even if you hide him at seventh in the lineup, he'll still bat like a four or five hitter.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, like you talking about Martinez, how it just lengthens everything out. It really, you know, it's pretty incredible. And I'm, you know, excited to see Alvarez offensively this year, like you said, in a full 162 and ready for that workload. But, you know, just throwing runners out, especially the back picks. The back picks at first base, it almost feels like I'm letting you know that this is our way and we're going to hold runners on this way. If, you know, stay close there. It really, the confidence with that is awesome to see. Obviously has a cannon, and hopefully it just gets better and better. This guy seems, like you said, this guy seems to be the limit for him. And this is, you know, with Alvarez in the fold now, and hopefully, you know, we'll see what happens with Alonso after the year, but a core group of guys that really can, you know, can on paper contend for a lot of years. I really think so.
I think the lineup, even before JD Martinez was in there, was pretty good. I mean, write it in 1-9. Sure. It's, you have a tough time. Who's going to hit where? And now JD Martinez is in this lineup. The Mets should score a lot of runs, and they might need to score a lot of runs, but they should score a lot of runs with this offense.
Absolutely, absolutely. And last thing, I don't want to keep you all night, but I am curious. Just obviously things happen during the year. There's not everything that you can kind of predict. I'm just wondering if there's maybe a couple of things that you're looking forward to in particular this year to get to call or announce or anything like that.
So just from a personal standpoint, even the Mets, we're going to London in June. That is really, really exciting.
I'll see you there.
Okay, good. Amazing. I was very interested to see how many people were going to come, what kind of contingents of Mets fans were going to fly over. So that'll be really, really exciting. And then just again, personally, Edwin Diaz pitching at Citi Field. I was unable to see that last year, my first year in the majors, to feel the trumpets, to see him pitch on a big stage when you know the game is over. You just want to see how it's almost like watching Gladiator. Like how are these bodies going to die? and Edwin Diaz doing that this year. So, you know, that the Alonso stuff, I'm excited to see how Starling Marte bounces back.
Sure.
There really are a lot of things you could see here with this roster and get excited for. I mean, Severino, where is he going to go? So it might seem on paper like, oh, the Mets, but it's not. There's so many incredible storylines. There's so many players that are really, really good, all-star caliber, all-star players. So I'm excited for a year that even if it's 83-79 or 84-78, do you know how exciting that is to chase every single game in August and September for a wild card spot? So I'm Sal, you can tell. We're 48, 72 hours away from opening day. I am jacked.
Love it. Love it. Like a lot of us, we just stare out the window all winter. We wait for, you know, the end of March, April to come, and all's right in the world again. So very excited for opening day on Thursday. Thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it. And as always, now we'll catch you next week with hopefully the Mets being 4-5-0. And we'll see what happens. We know what happens opening day, hopefully, though. But between now and then, as always, everybody, let's go Mets.